Welcome back to Deep Thoughts, ladies and gentlemen. Long time ago, probably 4 years ago, maybe even in my MK Ultra radio show with Kyle, I coined a phrase. I was trying to think of a nifty little acronym for Google. And what I came up with, it was government-owned and operated global looking glass of the elite. And now, serendipitously, apparently the number 17 guy has got everyone looking off on this Project Looking Glass. Now, we're going to look at what's being insinuated, because I heard a friend of mine just marvel over this Looking Glass project. Has never really looked into it. Definitely didn't do any rabbit holing of the individual technologies that this dude in this video, I'm not going to mention anybody by name so everyone could just wonder if I'm talking about them. And so it was like, oh my god, you know, you hear about Project Looking Glass? I'm like, no. I mean, I kind of did, but didn't, you know. Of course, this acronym I came up with a long time ago is all of a sudden ringing in my brain, which is me making up something out of thin air to be funny. So I go up and watch this video. And I'm sitting there looking at this thing going, really? That's what it is. After I finally looked at the deep dive on it, I was interestingly shocked that people are taking this seriously. Now, I'm always telling you guys to have open minds, so I have done episodes on individual issues. In fact, I have one that's not published at this moment in time that's going to also feed into this, but it's based off me watching a fictional show on TV and then sort of tossing it around. All right, so what's this about for those of you who don't know? So our 17 guy, which if you don't know what that is, just count the letters in the alphabet, look up that letter plus project, or you probably just look up Project Looking Glass and you'll see all kinds of videos. It's a big exploding thing on the internet. I want to throw my two cents in, not to harvest views, but to make sure we all take a step back just a little bit here. And, you know, if anything, it's good entertainment. All right, good. You know, I'm all in for entertainment, you know. But what this is a bunch of dried up, coast-to-coast AM fictional projects that are being rehashed, all put into one container called the Project Looking Glass. Now, there could be my opinion of what this is, could be more realistic and true, and maybe what the 17 dude is referring. If 17 guys blowing smoke, which is a lot of reasons why you shouldn't think that, and some reasons why you're going to go, come on, dude, say something new. Make something happen. It looks like some things are happening, so it's good. We all want that dude to be real, because if he's not real, it's a bummer, and if he is real, oh my god, stand back, because some cool shit's about to happen, right? But the video I saw, and bless the guy's heart who was making the video, I just picked one 50-minute video, a little bit more than that. He talked about how excited he was to talk about this, and he starts cutting stuff together, and he does a great job, you know, cutting in the people that are claiming to be a part of this project. But here's the thing. Yours truly gets paid to make up stories. Okay. I've been paid to make up stories since the late 80s when I was in the video game business, and I did it for 10 years, almost, 8 years, as a child, making up video games, watching every awesome science fiction show, in every Twilight Zone I know, like the back of my hand. Not just the overall what happened in the Twilight Zone, but the story arcs, the characters, and in a lot of cases, who exactly wrote it, whether it's Charles Beaumont, Rod Serling, Earl Hammer. I'm there. Got a really good. My photographic memory is all history. I see history in photographic layers, right? So the history of science, a particular strand of science, everything that I have personally learned, which is obviously got holes in it, it's limited in certain areas, and I just do layers back. And so when I need to connect dots, you know, for me, it's what I call like a dangerous mind. You know, it's not the autistic dangerous mind. But, hell, maybe it is. Fuck if I know. But I'll tell you what I think it is first. What's really strange to me is that there's projects out there that have been around since the late 70s and even before that spy on people. Our government, our intelligence agencies spying on other agencies. And in several cases, we sold the computers that ended up being the spy computers. So we would sell, like, the Canadian Mounties got had by our intelligence agencies because they were sold a, they were sold a bunch of computers that we said, hey, these are awesome. Use them in your intelligence gathering for the Mounties. And they're awesome. The software is great. And they're like, yeah, great. Now we're as sophisticated as the United States, not realizing that we embedded keyboard readers that had mini transmitters in them. So all we had to do is put a little receiver outside their police stations, their intelligence buildings, and we could look at everything the Mounties were doing. This has gone through several stages. I think one of the first ones I was ever taught about was Project Echelon. There have been father-son teams that were murdered who helped invent this stuff because they didn't want anyone to know that it existed, couldn't trust them because they're so so evil. They know that anybody with the moral fiber is going to eventually reject the objective of what their software was used for, you know, regardless of what they promised them initially. I'm going to guess that Looking Glass, that the 17 dude is referring to, is a spy software network and not a what we're about to talk about. So the project Looking Glass is really two major themes of scientific research with claims of successes. I have made several episodes about time. I've made a couple episodes about possible dimensional realities, because it's all subjective, what you call dimension. And then there is remote viewing, which when I took a deep dive was very interesting. But you have to also know that governments do psyops against other governments. Imagine, for instance, no government has discovered a UFO. And then Roswell 47 happens. They publish it as a psyop against Russia. Now, again, you do your deep dives on this. If it is a fake, then my God, they did some serious MKUltra stuff to people in the late 40s, which I have my doubts. But what if you were like the competitive country to the United States of America after the World War II? Here we have spent literally billions increasing our naval fleet technology, our aeronautical technology, our spy technology, our mental manipulation. We got, you know, 1,200 to 1,700 Nazis out of Germany and smuggled them into the United States thanks to the Dulles brothers. Big portion went off to do mind control. The other portion went off to do NASA. They did fund remote viewing. Remote viewing was the psyop most likely from Russia to us, claiming that given just GPS coordinates, a human being could sit and meditate and see what's at that GPS location, including interstellar GPS coordinates. To say, you're going to look into Mars, you're going to look into planet Xenon or whatever it is. Claiming, obviously, massive amounts of success. However, there's a big catch. Remember that old saying, outrageous claims require outrageous evidence. Okay. If I told you that I had the ability, this is a fictitious claim, but I want you to think about this for a split second. This is where it starts to become the Occam's razor against these outrageous claims. Because someone could just poo-poo it away. Oh, well, they're not going to show us evidence because that's a secret weapon. All right, whatever. Whatever you got to do to believe in Jesus, okay? If I said I have the capability of lifting infinite mass, I am an invincible Hulk. I look like this, but I can pick up anything in the world as long as it can stay together while being picked up. If the World Trade Center could stay together, I could take my finger put it on the bottom of the foundation, lift the whole building up with my finger. I make this claim. It's like Burgess Meredith being the strong man in Twilight Zone. All right. But then I do some construction on my house. I want to put a wing back here instead of this yard. I want to build 3 or 4 stories up there. I go to another location and I'm moving big, heavy things. But I'm paying outside firms to bring in cranes to lift everything that I need to move around to get this construction done. And one of you finally walks up to me and says, wait a minute. Aren't you the guy that said you could lift infinite weight? Yeah, yeah. So why are you paying tens of thousands of dollars, if not millions of dollars, for these cranes to show up to lift all this stuff for you when you can just do it yourself? Right? And now I'm a fraud. Well, lift something in front of me. Well, I can't lift it in front of you. It's a secret weapon. I am a hidden resource for the U.S. military. Blah, blah, blah. Right? Okay. I have a very good friend of mine who's extremely intelligent, and she has continually said, no matter how intense the proofs are, and she doesn't necessarily deny the proofs of the 17 dude. She just simply says, yeah, those proofs are real, but you're being set up. And then, of course, I kind of think I know what she's going to say, but she's an extremely brilliant, articulate person, so I say, tell me, what do you think? She goes, you're going to get had. She goes, this is going to bubble up to the point where perhaps the swamp gets drained. Some of the swamp may actually help getting drained. People, meaning people you think are your enemy, are actually in on it. And then America will have a one-party country, which again, some of us in an ideal situation would enjoy, as long as it's more central, non-left, non-right, constitutional-based, common law, Magna Carta government. We could probably deal with that, but then that puts us at a liability of that turning over into something else. But she goes, they're going to wait to the sweet spot when it all seems like it's going right, and then the bullshit's going to drop. I said, what do you mean? She says, you know, I'm paraphrasing her, but she said essentially, look, they're going to start selling you something that is untrue, and you're going to buy it because you think this source is so legit, and because they've orchestrated legitimate things, because they are, up to a point, very legitimate. 17 guy says he's deep inside the government intelligence of one of the alphabet agencies we can actually, I think, trust, I think. Definitely have FISA warrants that they have to go through to spy on you instead of just looking in the database, which is Snowden's game. I think Snowden's a traitor because he's on the deep state side, whether he realizes it or not, and he is trying to destroy an agency, I think, that is fighting that organization. He believes everything he's told because he's that kind of guy. Up to a level. He's revealing this and that. He's not totally incorrect or anything, but he's not realizing what team he's playing on. But anyway. Remote viewing. Well, what's the gist of remote viewing? Well, I heard about it 20 plus years ago, before the internet was really hot, and it was all about the idea that, let's say that you had a very top secret document, and it was in an envelope, or a briefcase that had something very important in it, launch codes, some encrypted information or not encrypted information that's being simply guarded by the vessel it's being transported or stored in, that a remote viewing person could have the GPS coordinates of that object or just think about the object in general and can tell you what's in it. And this is supposedly real, which means you essentially have spying capabilities, real-time, anywhere in the world, and there's nothing you can do about it. All right. Well, how would one prove this from one country to the other? Well, it could be legit, and this works, which would imply a whole different reality that we're in right now. Or it could be, I'm making this up, but let's say the KGB calls the CIA and says, look, we got remote viewing, it's 100%. You don't believe us? Put a briefcase somewhere with something in it. Something unimportant, but just pick 4 random digits. put a picture in there, whatever. Give us a fax number. Give us 30 minutes, and we'll fax you what's inside that briefcase. Lo and behold, the fax comes in, and it's a carbon copy of what's in that suitcase. And all of a sudden, the U.S. military is like, oh, shit. We're going to have to figure out another way to store information such that even remote viewing can't figure it out. Perhaps nothing's ever written down. It's encrypted in the computers. It's just never even visible. It's stored in a crazy metrics that even if you could kind of see part of it, it's still a Project Enigma code. You don't have the decoder ring. So they figure out a way to obfuscate that, right? All right. What's the other way it could happen? What if David Blaine was doing it? Master magician. Never really does anything that he says he does. He always has a trick up his sleeve. He's an entertainer. He's got that license. We support him. We like him. But whoever's in the room when the piece of paper is shoved into the briefcase has 30 minutes to exit the room, 30 minutes to transmit without exiting the room, the information to the other side through some covert communication, which could be extremely elaborate. 50 people, a pigeon, who knows, right? Someone gets the pigeon, pulls the note off, calls the Kremlin. It's 4596999. Okay. They fax it over. Oh my God, looks like we have magic capabilities in Russia. That's another way that trick could go down to prove one government to another. Now, there's a lot of us that think that these governments have only been against each other in some faux war to keep control over their people. That none of this Cold War was actually ever real. It's just a method to stay in power. I think there's a lot of validity behind that. But now, Looking Glass adds another dimension to it because they're, again, mashing old theories together. But now here's my impression of a video I saw with the guy in khaki pants, I think, and I think it was like a light blue shirt, but he's walking around giving some speech about this, claiming to be deep in the project and just talking about it matter-of-factly, right? We've had a lot of these guys over the years, and they're good up to a point, and I've talked about them several times. When's the last time your son or daughter, under 10 years old, told you an elaborate lie, and you just looked at them and totally believed it? Probably very rare in your past, right? Because there's indicators that if someone's telling a lie, and a child can't quite hide it all, you know? Then the confidence trickster, the con man, gets older, gets better, more well-rehearsed. There's the old movie, Six Degrees of Separation, with Will Smith, who practiced this script, this monologue about being Sidney Poitier's son, who's in town, and he's going to be offering this family this close proximity to Sidney, and it's all a lie. But the way that he got the lie so well-rehearsed, and this is also in the Reservoir Dogs by Tarantino, where Tim Roth had to rehearse this story about going to the bathroom with a bunch of coke in a bag, finds cops in the bathroom with a sniffing dog, and he didn't get caught. And he had to rehearse this to tell the mob boss the story with all of his minions in such a way that they thought he was legit. Same thing Will Smith did in Six Degrees of Separation. All right. So I've criticized because I've listened to Coast to Coast AM from time to time. And again, that's an entertainment show. So I'm not really criticizing Coast to Coast. And I'm not trying to kiss up to them. But there's a distinction in my mind. To the degree that any particular show misleads the public and saying something's true when it's false. You know, I don't know who's going to Coast to get their science. But you're operating at your own risk, right? But the psyops that go in there and train, they have rehearsed their little story up to a point. They have tried to think of every contingency question, every question that could be asked about their story, more dimensions to it, right? I'll give an example. There was a gentleman on the show, 15 years ago. He said that he was in this program with Barack Obama, with a few other guys. One of the guys called up during the show and said, "Stop mentioning my name. I got nothing to do with you. I've never done any of this kind of stuff." The guy's old. And what's the guy's little contingency phrase to get out of that accusation that he's lying. Well, you actually haven't done it yet. Implying some time travel situation where this guy who's retired, not in any active program, is going to get back into the program and travel around the universe with this guy. Yeah, nice, right? Again, it's great entertainment. Let's just leave it at that. Now all of a sudden, entertainment is fact in this Project Looking Glass thing. But he said he went to this other planet, and I forgot which one it was, but he talked about hanging out with them and then coming back wearing this like exchange program, which is right out of the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind, where Richard Dreyfuss gets in the red jumpsuit with a bunch of other guys in red jumpsuits with their silver briefcases and hops on the freaking vehicle and leaves, implying an exchange program between the two of us. Obviously, at some point, if we're in a peaceful relationship, we're going to explore their world and come back and report back in. So this guy is basically claiming to be one of those dudes, right? So, George Norrie, God bless him, he goes, okay, well, tell us what you saw. What do they look like? What does their city look like? What does their world look like? Oh, man, that's a lot of details, isn't it? And he goes, it looks just like our world. He couldn't give one detail that was miraculous. Not one thing that was, he didn't even say like anti-gravity cars or anything like that. He just couldn't come up with anything. He wasn't prepared. But his big elaborate story sounded good as the setup, the act one of his movie, but he didn't have any other acts written. And of course, to make the sound legit, he said Barack Obama went with him to make it interesting, right? It's like, give me a break. So it must have been around 2008, 2009. Where have we seen this as well? Before that moment. I mentioned this two or three times. It's very important to remember this. You can go look this up. Dr. Stephen Greer, who started the project, was it Project Disclosure, where he had a press conference in the early 21st century, where he allowed people to go up to a podium and give their testimony of sightings, UFO sightings, UFO encounters as military officials, and either that or intelligence officials. And then they said, I'm willing to testify in a court of law that this is true. And a bunch of guys did that. And there's a whole press, international press are there. It's a pretty interesting event. But one dude sitting on the end of the table was a more senior old guy. And he says, well, he needs to upstage, right? This is all a big attention game thing, right? So it's a big contest, a big pissing match of truth. Not just truth, but a pissing match truth. And the guy says, well, I personally know of 27 species that are already on Earth. Some of them still, well, he supplied that a bunch of them live here. And this journalist, a real journalist, stood up. He had a British accent, but he goes, well, can you tell us what it looked like, what they look like? You saw a glass on this guy's eyes. He got glaucoma in 2 seconds, right? And he's like, well, they look like us. Same lame-ass answer that the guy on Coast to Coast gave a few years later. Well, of course, that's easy. They look like us. They look like Elon Musk's ex-wife, right, who was in Westworld, because her eyes are a little bit further apart with her tribe in Europe. So we have seen this stuff for years, right? So when I watch this guy give his little presentation on the Project Looking Glass or Operation Looking Glass, I can't remember exactly what they call it. I'll find it out. He is giving you sort of a, I mean, for any of you who are in science fiction, one of the most lowbrow definitions of space-time I've ever heard in my life. And could time and space be that basic? Well, yeah. I mean, I think everybody imagines it's XYZT. You program a video game and tell me you're not operating in the XYZTD, you know, being world coordinate. It's just what we do. You know, you want to transform something over time to animate something? Well, it's in a certain space and time, and it's supposed to transform the 3D mesh and rotate it and animate the bones and, you know, according to the rigging and all that stuff. It's just basic stuff, right? But if you never have any exposure to that kind of stuff, boy, it's science fiction. In fact, it's science fact. So there's been this funny little story about Baron Trump. Because there's a series of books written in the 1800s about the adventures of Baron Trump. Well, Trump's youngest son, which I believe is his third son, is named Baron. Cute kid. And ironically, in this book, the little boy looks, he's drawn very minimalistically, very, very few lines to draw the face. I'm a face expert when it comes to illustration and painting. And so this kid is, it's very minimalistic. It could be a bunch of different kids, but it does kind of look like Baron Trump. Now, the other interesting thing is he has a little companion that goes with him named the Donald. Wild, right? So we had this fun little tongue-in-cheek conspiracy that flew around the web that Trump is a time traveler because his uncle seized Tesla's patents at his house. And supposedly it was fully operational time travel technology that Tesla just made and put off to the side, right? Never used it, you know? And Tesla ends up getting hit by a car, which leads to his death. So again, a psychic that can't tell what's going to happen to him. Never looked 5 minutes in his future or whatever. Whatever. So what they've done is they've taken remote viewing and they've blended it with time travel to insinuate and suggest quite literally that the people that are in this project have the capability of turning on a machine, creating a portal, a black portal in the room that is the other universe, straight out of some TV series, and that, you know, they accidentally did it, and then all of a sudden they massaged it. Now they can not only create that portal, but lo and behold, as a lowbrow science fiction plot, move that portal anywhere, move the what you're seeing through the hole in any Cartesian coordinate system XYZ, meaning a space in our space, but also T in time. But you're going to have to figure out where you're looking, regardless of, again, if we're in a ball or a disc or whatever. Nothing prohibits that object that we live on. Sorry, someone's pulling donuts. Just waiting for them to crash. But nothing prohibits them that where we are from traveling through space-time. Again, time being an extremely relative thing created by the memory of the passage of change. But they're looking back in time and looking forward in time. What they're trying to do, what these people are trying to do to the 17 movement, and again, I'm not convinced the 17 dude is trying to do this, and if the 17 dude ever listens to this through sheer serendipity, I would advise to get off this really quickly, because you're going to screw yourself up. But that the military in the United States of America, those that are supporting our president, are looking all over reality and finding out what everyone's going to do in the future, what they've done in the past, and that's the way that they're framing everybody with their own past. I mean, really using what they've really done, not making things up. When, if you study Project Echelon from the late 70s up, and every iteration of our intelligence gathering apparati, we have known anything that we want to know at any point in time. It's a little more difficult in the past, right? So maybe 1985... you have some Apple or Mac 2. You might have like a Mac 512K unit. You might have an Apple 2. Maybe you have Windows 1.0, DOS, whatever. Okay, so they want to know what you have on your computer. There's some people that have modems. Most people don't. And even if you do have a modem, you're probably not transferring your sensitive documentation over that. Plus, you can't just walk into someone's computer when they're using their modem because it had such bad bandwidth, you would immediately just lock up the computer because they'd be using all the bandwidth and you wouldn't have any left. So back in the day, if they really thought you had something that they wanted, they put people on the ground outside your house. They simply watch when you go to work, when you come home. They watch you for a little while. Maybe in that time, they still knew how to look in your credit card transactions, your ATM transactions, anything that puts you at a particular location outside your home. And they will put people in your house in 2 seconds that will then install things on your computer, little transmitters that will monitor your keyboard input. They could get your password, but they don't really need to because they're watching you type everything live. So, okay, whatever. They need to walk in and type in your password. They can do it. But they can do all kinds of little microtransmitters, receivers, and get everything off your computer. They know how to do it. It's just nobody did it back in the day in the public sector, because it was just unnecessary. So we don't need time travel, all right, to know what's on every single computer, to know every single packet of information that's ever traveled over the internet from the get-go, right? You have CERN and DARPA in really pioneering the HTTP protocol, very well knowing from the very beginning. These people are ridiculous geniuses out of Dartmouth, University, out of MIT, out of Caltech, out of a bunch of think tanks that we don't even know their names. They thought all this stuff through before a single web page was ever erected and given to the public as a protocol with the, the Netscape browser back in the day. All the Netscape browser had to do was just hand off an extra transmission to a back end, unbeknownst to you, and they'd know where you went. If they're going to serve up the page and give it to you, well, that server just goes through a massive router somewhere, and that router gives a duplicate off to the intelligence agencies, and boom, we know everything you've ever done. The more sophisticated, the more thorough the internet has become. Remember, all the massive OS upgrades to the Macintosh have all been your notifications. It's all social media crap. What that should translate to you is spy software. That's all it is. Because the Mac got busy using the next operating system by 2001, it just became this huge harvesting thing. Spotlight showed up and indexed your hard drive so they could find any file on your hard drive. Anything. 2 seconds. Apple also turned on face recognition on photos, or iPhoto. You couldn't turn it off. It's looking at all your photos, making a binary tree of all the dates and times, GPS, everything. Also, face scraping. So they're looking for someone that's a dissident, someone who was at the Boston bombing and saw something a little funny. And so they just use that facial recognition from a surveillance camera, from other cameras you don't know that exist that were installed for that day to harvest everybody involved. If they suspect you, they just put the blip out over the internet, goes right into everybody's computer and searches that binary tree in a millisecond. They have exactly where that person is last time they showed up at Disneyland, somewhere, someone they don't even know took their picture, and it's in that computer. And because they're like, yeah, I want to give all my diagnostic data to the computer companies, right, to make Microsoft Office perform better, right? But the Mac got amazing, and then what happens? Windows starts getting panned. Windows gets panned because they're behind the curve. And so I was in the Bay Area, just to give you an example, in 1997, 98, and they were caught installing keys to the NSA right inside your operating system. You know, when you used to install Windows, you used to see that little DOS readout in the lower left-hand corner. It was all the millions of files that are getting installed on your computer. Well, the hackers of the Bay Area, who believed in liberty and freedom, slowed it down, filmed it, and watched. Oh my God, there's a key. Microsoft denies it publicly after being accused, I think through the San Francisco Chronicle, and then later, within a month, admitted it was a key to allow them to look inside your computer. That's when they were on top, Windows over Mac. Mac didn't have all that in the 90s. I used to work with Los Alamos Labs and a double-blinded support program where I would help them program over the phone. I never knew what they were making, but I asked them what computers they used, and they said, oh, Macs, for sure. I said, well, why? This is like from 91 to about 97. And they said, well, because there's no security flaws, because it's a proprietary lock system. It wasn't Unix at the time. It wasn't Windows. So no one can hack us. Ha-ha! But apparently NORAD in the mid-90s was using Windows. The guy that taught me about encryption keys and how to make them for a business project of the company I was working for had just secured NORAD, and I said, well, how was it? And he goes, well, the first thing I told him was cut the wires because this place is wide open. Interesting, right? They get everything all the time. My friends who deal with pretty good protection blockchain stuff, they believe that they are secure Well, it was just released last week from the BBC that PGP has a huge flaw and always has had a flaw, and you can look right into what you're doing. Funny, right? You think your Bitcoin wallets are secure? Think again. Wasn't it Sun Tzu that said, you know, something to the effect of, if you get the drop on your enemy, don't let them know. Right? If you can infiltrate their systems and watch their communications, don't let them know. When the Xerox company helped photograph all Hitler's paperwork by putting video cameras, or, you know, movie cameras inside the Xerox machine, such that when every single piece of paper was copied, the camera was taking a picture of it and just putting it on movie reels. When Xerox came to empty out the ink, it's because the video, the movie film was full, was out of film. So it would flag that it had no ink. They call in Xerox to replace the ink, and they're replacing the ink and the film. Been doing it for years. They never called Hitler and go, we got all your things, all those Xerox machines you have, we're looking at them. Mm-mm. All right. So wild-eyed of the people. Well, maybe 17 guy is not lying. Maybe he just dropped something and they should be able to find out what it is. They should be able to think like I think, but they're not. And so these dudes who are maybe psyops trying to make you look bad come out with these outrageous stories. Let's go back to the presentation of this dude. Now, it's very difficult when you know a tremendous amount of information, not everything, but I know a tremendous amount of information about security. And when I watch those big hacker conventions in Russia, I watch them here in the United States, the only thing I don't know specifically is when they're hacking into a system, all the back doors that may exist for a particular version of Unix, particular version of Windows, particular version of the operating system, iOS, macOS, whatever. Yeah, they're getting in through doors that are fairly new, fairly discovered, coveted. You know, their doors have been there forever, like the PGP door. Yeah, I don't put any time in it, but I know exactly how these little renegade files and permissions are screwed up so they can walk through, take over a device. Apple keeps telling you that their phones are so secure that when the San Bernardino shots happened, that they weren't allowed, but the FBI needed Apple's help to crack the phone to figure out who these people had been communicating with, to see if they were a terrorist cell. Give me a break. Give me a break, okay? Get that Kit Kat bar out right away, because that's complete faux bullshit to make you think that phone is actually secured. Right? The 17 dudes told you forever, we know everything on every single telephone. Every single movie we ever wanted to watch, we watch it. Any photo you've ever taken, we can see it. And I'm just going to reiterate a couple examples so that you guys understand how you have paradigms and limitations in your mind that are simply not true. So recently we've been able to get 300 megabit lines up, which is about 30 megabytes per second uploading to the web. We could get that in our house now for a little over $100. Cool. It's enough to back up terabytes and terabytes of data on my computer without really knowing it's happening. It's so fast, right? And it happens while I'm asleep too. But let's say back in the days when you couldn't get over 10 megabits, 1 meg per second, and you're thinking, oh man, it would take them forever to scour my computer. Well, that's what binary trees are for. Is this person on your computer? Oh, I'll be right back. I'm on a Mac. Oh, yeah, here he is. He was in the background of a photograph taken at Disneyland, October 25th, 2005. Here was his GPS. Well, then they just nail that in the GPS net, everyone else's phone in the world that says that they were at that location, especially if you're storing your pictures in the cloud. Hilarious. They just walk through the servers. They don't even touch your computer. Isn't it funny how there's a bunch of cloud services? Better give away like a gigabyte for free or whatever. And then Apple that charges like 10 times the amount it costs anywhere else. And 100% more than it costs them to store it. All right. But imagine that they want to rip your computer down 15 years ago when you couldn't get these massive bandwidths at your house without paying, you know, thousands of dollars a month. All they have to do depending on the strength of your network card. And I think, you know, if you're Ethernet bound back in the day where you're wired to your router physically, you're not using wireless, at least at 10 gigabit usually. So people were at 100 gigabit with Cat 5 wires before they could ever really transmit it that quickly. They could tell all the routers in your neighborhood that get the path from them to you to go 100% at 4 in the morning. And now they can walk through your drive like they're sitting there live. Before you wake up or when you move the mouse or when you lock in, that whole thing undoes itself. It goes right back to where it is. You might think, oh, well, I've got software that monitors the event loop of communication on my computer. I would know if they had done something like that. I could look in the histogram and see it. Well, that's an honor system, friend. That's an honor system that the operating system is actually sharing 100% of the bandwidth with the event listener, such that your store-bought and software is actually showing you what's really going on. Now, technically speaking, you could say, well, I could look at the hard drive light and know that it's cranking like crazy. Well, it does it all day long, and you don't know why. It's happening right now. VPNs. I've been warning you guys about VPNs. Well, what is the theory? Well, you got an IP address that the phone company gives you at your house. Well, you're going to use VPN software. All right. Well, you still have to exit your house at your VPN. You do. Then you're going to bounce through some servers that are going to have their logs turned off, supposedly. You can't confirm that. And they're changing and scrambling your IP address however many times you think you're jumping, so that when you reach your destination, they don't know who you are. And sure, that might stop Joe Schmo from knowing who you are, but it hasn't stopped the big boys. The big boys looked at all the reassignments of your IP packet. And I'll tell you, I wrote one of the very first weblog analysis apps before any of that stuff that you can buy off the shelf or get their cPanel existed. And what I had to do, because I was doing the server side, not the client side, is that I would not only harvest IP addresses, but I would also look at the split-second, millisecond requests of files and the transmission of the data to that particular IP address to aggregate together who was who. And they could switch their IP address, and I'm telling you, it was just a couple lines of code to restitch it back together to say, no, that's the same dude. He's still pounding the same drive. We've had no introduction of new users at this level. And you have to jump through these breadcrumbs to get to this point, and then you got to jump back out your breadcrumbs to get the data out of there. So if you come way deep inside the bowels of a system, with authorization especially, I either know someone's hacked your computer and is taking your banking information against your will, which I've never seen in my entire life, but I know it happens. Or we got you. So VPNs are all bullshit. You're stopping the little guy. People in China that VPN out so they can read the news. Well, China knows where they are. They're just not going to go raid everybody's house and say, we caught you and you're using VPNs. Man, they would arrest 50% of their adult population if that was the case. Where are they going to put them? Why? They just want to know how much their people are getting out the door. So let's go back to this assertion, this due presenting. I keep telling him I'm going to go back. When I see this guy talk, I'm seeing a little kid lie. I'm seeing the holes in his story. Because I have this really good memory of history, of everything I've ever seen on the web. I may not remember people's names because I don't give a shit. I just want the information. Once you become a nuisance or a good resource, then I put your name on the file. And I remember this dude always says this. This chick always says this. Go to these resources to figure out things. Rosa Corey, great source for Agenda 21 information. Bill Cooper, good information. But then he deprecated his own history. So I deprecate his information that I got from the point he saw the stuff in the ocean to the point he took the interview in the late 90s on his sofa with CNN, which is this real indie, weird, low-quality thing. But the credentials in the room were CNN. But now let's try to give it some validity, because in remote viewing, I told you guys the holes in this whole thing. I told you this analogy of me claiming to be able to lift things and then paying people to lift things for me. Doesn't make any sense. It blows my cover, right? All right. So let's say you're still on board to deny that I'm right, and that this little religion you've maybe jumped on, which I doubt is most of you, is still true because you want to believe. All right. Raise your hand if you think that the that day in September of 2001 didn't go as planned. In many, many areas, opening up conspiracy after conspiracy and knowledge after knowledge. They've tried to disinfo it. But let me ask you. Keep your hand up if you think that they would do it exactly the same if they had the chance to do it all over again. How many people would they erase before the event took place because they found out those people were liabilities? Would they let the Jewish dancers exist? Nope. Would they do a better job at putting out misinformation, and would they do their special effects the same way for the nose cone that went through the entire building, popped out the other side, and then went back in the building? What about all the bad rotoscoping of the planes going through the cranes? One of them went, it went behind a building that was in the background because they rotoscoped, they masked things incorrectly. What about the fact that the explosion in the Pentagon happened 5 minutes before the missile with wings hit the Pentagon? Think they would have changed that? I'm going to say yes. They would have changed a ton of stuff if not done something completely different or done it completely different. But they didn't. They made a crap ton of mistakes. How many mistakes are you following that lets you know that something isn't the way they said it was? By supposedly these folks that have remote viewing capabilities through time. Signor Brzezinski, what is it? The kid that's, isn't it wearechange.org? He's the good guy, the New York kid. And his name escapes me at the moment, but he went into a meeting with Signor Brzezinski in New York, sat there and heckled the guy, unfortunately, and lost his ability to sit in the room and see what the rest of the conversation would have gone like. But Signor was saying, who wrote the book, The Grand Chess Game, which revealed the fact that they were going to start this clandestine event. Dick Cheney and the whole, we need a new Pearl Harbor to get the people behind the war in the Middle East statement inside the neocons document. I think they would have erased that document. They would have just literally never written it because they would be looking in the future and go, oh, this came back to bite us. That will come back to bite us. They would have seen, for instance, the wrong people getting elected, and they would have changed it. Now, let's say you think the good guys have this technology, not the bad guys. That's pretty damn naive, right? Because these alphabet agencies that aren't good, they know everything that's going on the other side within reason. They would have changed the script. They would have changed time before it occurred because they would know all their mistakes. But that's not what we see. They make mistakes constantly, don't they? Why is there a big chasm between round people and flat earth people, globe earth and flat earth people? Because each faction thinks the other faction is telling such bold-faced lies that they are misleading the public into perhaps a false sense of science from one to the other, or a false sense of spirituality. They feel it is so important that they get angry. Okay. That would be the problem that the ruling class, deep state, has right now with us. They can't control us. But it's the overall goal of the deep state. It's Agenda 21, signed by 179 countries in 1992 to depopulate this world, put under one world government. Still going to this day. Almost every conspiracy out there is underneath that agenda. The Georgia Guidestones, if you don't know them, go look them up. Reduce world population to 500 million in perpetual balance, or maintain world population in under 500 million in perpetual balance with nature. That was constructed in the early 80s. This looking glass thing has been around supposedly for almost 30 years now. Yeah, they have a total drop on the future. They have a total drop on the past. Right. Now let's just play this out as if this existed and you and I have this capability. We're on the team that discovered it. We're within a military organization that has the literal physical power to change the world in any realm of anything that we want. If it's technically possible, the U.S. military could get it done. That's just the truth, if it's technically possible. Okay, it's us. And let's say that we buy the 17 movement, that there's been a bunch of really good generals out there, which I definitely hope exist. I think they do. And lower folks that are very powerful and super intelligent, and they've got this ability to look around time. Well, where would you look? I mean, what really matters? If you could physically travel in the past, well, then a bunch of stuff would change. And we would get rid of things that look bad. We'd probably get rid of the bankers in general. There wouldn't be any banker problems, right? We wouldn't have the Federal Reserve, the 16th Amendment, the IRS. We wouldn't have them. But we do, right? Because everything's totally time-travelingly cool at this point, right? You would look in the future. Because that's the only thing that's at stake right now is the future, not the past. Yeah, okay. There's all kinds of theories about how time works, if it's fully linear and not three-dimensional, meaning there's, like I said in this episode I'm going to release probably before this gets out the door, you could alter things next to you, but it wouldn't matter because you're in this realm, right? You're in timeline A and it's timeline B. Make all the changes you want in B. You could look into B and see how the world works. It wouldn't matter because everything in B could be completely different than A, and why worry about that? It's not your timeline. But let's say it is linear to an extent, and which is not what they're saying, which again, I just destroyed the value of that big epiphany that it's three-dimensional. Whoop-de-doo. It's exactly what I said in my dimensional episode and what I've been telling friends for 25 years without this project, you know. Well, they look in the future. They'd see all this negative stuff coming that's going to remove sovereignty, install tyranny. They would see who's doing it, what meetings occurred, and they wouldn't look the other way. They'd see Epstein doing all this crazy stuff. They'd see people way worse than Epstein. And because these military individuals, of which some are female, would see children getting destroyed by these people. I mean, in every sense of the word, every context one could fathom, they would go and probably just like you and I from the wild, wild west. I mean, if I said, okay, this is Tombstone, Arizona, that guy playing poker in that saloon over there. Well, back at his cabin outside, he's got three kids strapped to a bed. And every time he goes home, he just has his way with them. What are you going to do? You're going to arrest the guy? Put him through due process? This is a wild west, baby. That's what the military lives at. They live at the Wild West level because they have the license to kill, man. You walk in that place without asking a question, you do him like a Wild Bill, except you do it honorably right to his face. It doesn't even matter. Pow, he's dead. And you put another posse to go up to his cabin to free the kids and hope to God they can rehabilitate and live normal lives. Well, that's just a simple example of what would happen if they had this capability looking around time. You'd see someone doing something horrible, and you just go kill them. It'd be that fast. Oh, we didn't know until we got this time machine travel thing, and it's three-dimensional. We can go all over time, you know, X, Y, Z, T, and look in the future and see what you're going to do. That pre-crime thing that keeps going around, the minority report thing from Philip K. Dick back in the day. If, this is my prediction, if the 17 dude endorses this time travel remote viewing thing without outrageous proof, and he accounts for all the things that aren't going right in the world, why is he having to repair the world and be this hero? Not that he says he's a hero, right? He's pretty humble about it, which is nice. But why are there any problems at all? Because there's no such thing as this bunch of claims. Don't want to call it a name. Keep open-minded. I just had a, 5-hour session with someone today that I'm teaching some things to. She's hungry for information, hungry for skills. But probably the last 2 hours, because we had just chewed up what we were initially going for academically. And then, you know, it was just, well, you know, she's like, well, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And she's kind of like, look, I want to know, but I don't have anyone I think is informed enough to tell me. And so I just sat with my laptop. I said, well, you got to know about this. And the 17 movement was one of the guys that I mentioned, and I told her the pros and cons of this whole thing. But I showed her all this stuff. The spirit cooking lady, everybody she hangs out with, all the Gwen Stefani's, Will Ferrell's, Pamela Anderson's, the Robert De Niro's, all the Band-Aids on the center of the left finger on Obama and John Podesta. John Podesta holding up 14 in the fish on his hands when it's on the gun of the kid who supposedly slaughtered everyone in New Zealand. A videotape you're not allowed to have by law. Isn't that funny? But if this guy endorses this, then my friend, who was skeptical a year ago, if not a year and a half ago, is right. The con has just arrived without evidence to prove otherwise. But again, it makes no sense at all. What are you fixing it in timeline B? But you can't fix it in our timeline? No, you're going to have to talk about those limitations, right? But people want to believe. There's obviously a ton of folks on YouTube just looking for clicks, just looking for views. It's definitely not the case with this show. Christ, I put out such controversial episodes that in most cases, I know exactly the episode I'm going to release that will remove 10 subscriptions. Now, if I wanted to get 50 to 100 subscribers every single day, I just put out crap. I would just go look at what's popular and make a kitty video or, you know, review 17 posts all day long, which is fine if people do that. Some of that stuff's very valuable to hear other people's opinions. But man, it's so rehashed at this point. It's crazy. It's so bad that it's like reading the news, right? Meticulously reading it and understanding it. And you know what's probably fake and what's real, and then go and watching 20 shows on YouTube to tell you the exact same thing, and you might learn two or three epiphanies you didn't think of. All right, if that's the way you want to use your time, then don't be surprised by the time you get to the end of your life, all your goals are back there, and they were consumed with this movement, right? My thing is read the feed as it comes out, discern it as you can, but you have it just blows me away, man. The Q guy said that we landed on the moon with some secret space program. That we didn't make it the first time, but we made it the other times. I mean, come on. It's the additional landings that were even worse than the first ones. Seriously. I mean, we have to have some limitations in our ability to, our willingness, excuse me, to ingest outrageous stuff. Not to examine it. Examine it all you want. Like I said, you know, there's some crazy theories out there to me. But I champion people going into them. I'm not just talking about the one we always talk about. Talk about other ones, too. JFK being dead. You know, it's like I haven't seen anybody that actually looks like that guy. Not once. Fusca's not that dude. Fusca's about 5'5", 5'4", somewhere in there, right? But the chick that looks like his wife looks pretty damn convincing. Happens to show up with another woman that looks like her sister. Pretty damn convincing. Maybe they're just coincidences, bunch of doppelgangers all in the same place at the same time. I think they positively ID'd some sons and children of these people who wouldn't normally be at a Republican rally, given it's a Democratic family. So I can entertain pretty outrageous things myself. But then again, I think that I'm seeing photographs with a woman that has an Eiffel Tower ruby ring on her hand that was custom made for JFK's wife. Man, I can't shake that one. I got friends I can send that photograph to and they just go, yeah, he's dead. Like, is that feels better? I mean, well, you know, I got people that are telling me deep inside the Republican Party, the dude's totally alive. I mean, they just absolutely, these are senior people that are going, yep, he's totally alive. Can't tell you anything else. He's alive. Whoa, okay. Awesome. Maybe he plans on never coming out because of the problem with that. Maybe there's a legal problem with that. I don't know. Maybe you're a felon if you pretend to be dead. And there's no way to get around it. So they just did the math on the legal side and said, well, dude, you're going to have to stay hidden forever. Maybe we can change those laws or whatever. If you're under duress, someone's threatened your life, we can get that expunged. But there's no laws like that right now that I know of, right? I want you to see some of these claims as, quite frankly, a psyop, a psychological operation against our enemies by making them believe that we have certain technology and crafting, like David Blaine, a great magic trick to prove it. It's all an illusion. But that's all you need. How many people think we went to the moon? That was a David Blaine trick. You give them the inputs that they would consider to be proof, and you will forge someone to believe. And again, there's the lie detector test thing I always talk about when I get deep into the moon thing. Okay. So the people in Houston were looking at monitors. In fact, I don't even think most of them are monitors, but they were looking at like printouts and readouts and numbers. All right. Well, let's give any one of them the 1,000 people that probably participated in active operations on Apollo 11 through 17 a lie detector test and say, did we go to the moon? I think the overwhelming majority, 99% of all the underlings, would say yes, and they would pass that test. Because in their eye, we did go. So maybe some of the people talking about these operations have been told by people they trust that it's real, and they have no scientific ability, or their scientific predisposition to believe in certain theories have been massaged into the story. You know, you say, you're a quantum physicist. Yes. Okay, great. All right, so you have this discipline, a bunch of it's crap, right? Because we erase most of how the universe works. Now, because I know that you have this predisposition to believe X is Y, and Y is C, and all that stuff, check out this new formula we wrote. See that? See T in there? That's time. And you see, what happens is that this number goes up really fast and really da-da-da, and then magic happens and T changes. Really? Yeah. And see how that kind of makes sense? Repetition is brainwashing? Yeah, I totally believe it. All right. Now that you believe, because we told you all this stuff, we need you to study all these books that have been pre-written for your disposition. And then at the right time, we want you to go out and you're going to be the guy that cracks this for the public. Really? Yeah. Dude goes out in his khaki pants and just rails a good illusion for everyone to believe. The reason why I believe it's a surveillance situation is that most of the outcome of the claim is something that can be easily accomplished in a surveillance program. And think about this. If you've ever developed software for any number of years, or if you've written movies for any number of years, or you've had to name something. You're a person who names cars. You're the person who names a perfume. You will have experienced this several times in your lifetime. I certainly have experienced it. You'll pick a name that you think is so unique. You think it has metaphor and it has some really cool name. Then all of a sudden, you discover someone else has the exact type of product with the exact same name, because the big epiphany you thought you had, which you thought was the original thought, was actually a really obvious thought. And someone else has it. So you have to change the name of your product because they already have the name recognition out there for that exact product. And you need to be a competitor. Just ask car companies, man. They've been naming their cars all these weird names. They have computers that generate names because they don't want to run into copyright problems from other companies. So something called Looking Glass, I mean, come on. How many hundreds of projects have probably been called Looking Glass? And all kinds of research centers, corporations, video games, a ton of them. So just because the 17 guy mentions that word doesn't mean the first thing you look up is the thing. Now, maybe he made a link out to it. I can't remember the post. But if he's referring to this thing directly, time to put on your big boy pants and walk away. And it doesn't matter the David Blaine trick they show you to make you believe this thing. Doesn't mean it's real. Because again, the world would be a different place. So why be concerned about this weird little claim if you're like, ah, yeah, of course it's stupid. Why even paying attention to that 17 thing? Because a lot of people are. And they're seeing it as their messiah. They're seeing it as their hero. I mean, if anything, he is a Jesus Christ. He's a savior. Now, he doesn't claim, personally, I'm your hero, worship me. That's a nice thing. But did Jesus say that? Not really. You know, the fictional story of Jesus. He just basically said, worship the God the Father, and everything will be okay. Pretty good advice, in my opinion. I guess the slippery slope that we're dealing with right now is the injection of cognitive dissidence into our society. Most of you know that. So how do you combat it? You want to know, on one level, everything that's being claimed. You do, because you're a member of this world. And if anything, you know, if, well, let's put it this way. There's the, I don't want to mention Koresh, because I think a lot of really nasty things happen. I think he's probably accused of some things that may or may not have taken place. Don't know. He's a weird one. But let's just say a religious leader uses the internet, uses whatever tools he can to create illusions for people. And five people move into his two-bedroom apartment and start worshiping him as a god on earth, the next Jesus. They give him all of his money. They sleep with the guy, whatever they do. Not a good situation, but come on. Six people involved in this project, soup to nuts. Whatever. But now let's say the guy turns into like the next Hitler. He's got millions of followers because this illusion works on everybody who's gullible to his level. Remember, you can con people below your intelligence level. And again, there's people with high IQs that can still be conned because in the spectrum of the con job, they're neophytes. They're ignorant to what could be real and what could be fake. You know, what shocks me is that anytime I see these videos, like the compilation video this guy put together, which he did again, he did a great job. Hats off to that dude, regardless if this is true or false or whatever. I never hear the criticism, the devil's advocate to the claim. And if you do hear it, you hear it, first you almost never hear it, but the other one is that if you hear it, it's like usually someone being flippid. Ah, you guys are stupid for believing that. Okay, well, that's fine. Why are we stupid? And they're, because you're just dumb. Everybody knows it's the other way. Okay, in debate class, you get a big F+, and you can leave the room, and you lose. And the conclusion is not made that one is right and one is wrong. It's just you don't know how to debate. You're not making your case. If you were an attorney, you would just walk up to the jury and go, my client's innocent because. That's not going to sway anybody's opinion. So, in my personal experience, the reason why I make these videos is that I'm the only guy I know to suggest that if you had future-looking technology and past-looking technology, I don't know how the past would help other than re-engineering the past, which is definitely not taking place, we think, right? I mean, the theory goes like this, which wasn't a part of this video, but let's just say at some point you don't have time travel technology, and then whether it be looking glass or physical traveling, but then you do have it. And then you can start playing with the timeline. And then you're going to obviously figure out very quickly whether or not time is fully linear or multidimensional. And again, if it's multidimensional, then that's another time in a different dimension with different results, and you don't live in it. Go watch Fringe for a big binge on this theory. It's awesome. But let's just say, you know, something happened in the past that these people in control don't want to have happen. Well, I guarantee there'd be a lot of wars that would be flipped the other way. There'd be a lot of losses in general for these people that would all be reversed. I mean, it would be, think about it. Think about you being in charge of the situation and you're for the good side. Would that be really the dark side or the good side? Doesn't matter. Would Hillary's emails ever get caught? No, never. Would a presidential election ever go the way that they didn't want it to go? No, never. They just go back and change it. And go back and change it. And we just constantly keep changing to the point where we'd find ourselves in some tyrannical world. So the dude who was putting this together was really, I think, green to this whole time spectrum conversation. Because when I hear someone say, and again, this is like for people that have never thought about it before, the con job is super simple, right? But if you think about it a lot and really run the scenarios down your mind, you're like, yeah, whatever, dude. You're not even thinking it two chess moves ahead. You're one chess move into this concept and you think the world's going to be a different place. It ain't going to be no different place. Sorry, dude. But the guy was like, well, you know, most of you don't understand, man. Time ain't linear. It's multidimensional. was what I heard. I'm like, okay. Professor Stay Puft, you know, it's like, really? That's your big crescendo moment, your big hook in the beginning of your episode to say, now listen to this guy lie to you for however long he's going to lie to you in this presentation. Why do I make episodes about things we don't talk about? Because you need to. You need to think it through. I'm trying to take you down these paths. And I think most of you, I mean, honestly, I'm not. I'm preaching to the choir. I'm preaching to people that have thought about this as much as I have, if not more. Trust me, I'm not trying to belittle anybody who's listening. But as you spread your wings and travel this world and talk to other people, and, you know, whether or not you're a gorgeous model from Finland, you're an influencer. If you have your thought process straight. So, you know, it's kind of up to you to get as informed as you possibly can. You know, where you feel very certain about something because you've strung some things together. Say so. And where you're like, well, I don't see that connecting with the other thing, you know. And this is why. Maybe you across the table, this other person you're talking to, can fill in the blanks if they happen to believe it the other way. And, you know, I mentioned the Mandela effect a little bit in my other episode. And, you know, some people might say, well, look at the Mandela effect. That's proof they've been changing time. And it's like, no, it isn't. Because if you changed Berenstain to Berenstain at some point, then the whole world would remember Berenstain and go, how did it get to Berenstain? You wouldn't have a giant part of the world go, no, it's always been Berenstain. That's not an absolute time model. And, you know, here's the other thing, too. If, because this has been claimed several times on Coast to Coast, several times on the internet, and it's kind of calmed down. All these remote viewing things have calmed down. Yes, they spent a ton of money on it. Yes, supposedly they believed that this was working at some point. But again, everything would be different. It'd be a lot more fortunate for these countries than what they've experienced. You know, and it's just like, it's kind of like when you bodybuild. If any of you are familiar with that process, when you really want to get big, you bulk on and then you cut, right? You put a whole bunch of mass on your body and then you exercise in a particular way where you cut everything down to the parts you want to keep. And I think that's sort of how we have to run our minds. Build up all your skepticism, all the potential truths that maybe you haven't had time to dig into, and then you need to do a cut, a purge. Things that don't matter to you, why not just throw them out the door because you got other things to focus on? And remember, you got to live your life in the middle of all this crazy research because it can consume you. I do wonder what the God fact is on people that are following the 17 movement and other, you know, movements that are a lot more hateful. And they're going to wake up and realize, you know, imagine an Antifa kid. Poor kid, 18 years old. Say he manages to pull off 10 years in this organization. And at 28, the economy changes, he loses his job, all the things that he was mad about, he either has changed his mind or the thing is the opportunity or all the contingency stuff goes away, meaning what they're mad about changes, or they just get tired. They don't have any more energy to do it. Then they get into their 30s and 40s and look back. Remember my cousin who died? He told me, why are you going back to college to get a degree? You already do what you love to do and you make a ton of money doing it. I'm like, yeah. He goes, don't do what I did. I spent 10 years in college becoming, you know, a PhD chemist. And I said, yeah, but you got a bunch of stuff. He goes, so do you. Don't waste your life, man. Now, at least he had a reward for it. But these kids that are blowing all their life, like, it's like spending every dime after payday. You never get your 20s back, man. You never get any year back. You never get any minute back in your life. So hopefully, what you're spending your time on is something that's deeply important to you. And it's probably most healthy to take it in some level of moderation where you can enjoy a sunset, a sunrise, a sunny afternoon, your kids giggling because something funny happened on TV, or you said a little joke. Let me know what you think. Let me know if you've done a deeper dive and you're like, dude, you're totally off base, whatever. But if you're going to talk to me about time, this episode's full of all your homework. This episode is full of everything you have to explain. If there's multidimensional time, then how is modifying a different time zone or different time dimension going to affect you? You're not in that time dimension, you know? Don't be swept away by sci-fi talk. It's fun. Entertain yourself with it. Maybe become a screenwriter because you have so many cool ideas about how time could be. Create a premise, create a story, write a movie. I got all kinds of episodes that'll teach you how to write one. Do it. Maybe you're not a screenwriter. Maybe you're more of a novel writer. Maybe you're more of a TV writer. Whatever. Maybe you write plays, for God's sakes. And heed the warning of my friend that you get manipulated up to a point, you start believing something is real, and then you get had at the last second, running, jumping off on the total crazy zone. Careful. Careful. But if you haven't been to deepthoughtsradio.com, please go. It's got all your feeds, your video, your audio, your social media, your methods of donating to the show, and the all remastered season one. Get yourself a BitChute account, even if you never go back, because we need to support these folks who are the freedom of speech zone for videos. I think that's all I got. Until the next episode, take care of yourself and someone else, and I'll see you in the next Deep Thoughts. Over now.